You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the Draft Dog Pound. Join me in a Play the Draft contest with the Cleveland Browns. Play the Draft is a free, easy-to-play fantasy game for the NFL Draft. You find undervalued draft prospects for your chance to win prizes, including a new 2015 customized Cleveland Browns jersey. Sign up now at clevelandbrowns.com. And joining us, courtesy of Play the Draft, is Mel Kiper, Jr., ESPN Draft Guru. Mel, thanks for joining us here today.
Guys.
Mel, talk first about Play the Draft a little bit. It's a game that people can play. They can do it with us right now at clevelandbrowns.com. You want to find undervalued prospects. How does the game work, and who's somebody that if you were advising people to target as an undervalued prospect, who would you steer them towards?
I'll tell you what, it was really started because of the fact that everybody that I ever ran into thought that they could do better than the NFL, certainly better than me and McShay. So with Todd and I doing it and everybody doing it, it gives you a chance to be a general manager and play along and see how you're going to make out. You know, everybody wants to talk the talk, walk the walk. And that's why I say, people, hey, go ahead. Everybody's entitled to an opinion. We respect everybody's opinion. And it's certainly a great opportunity for fans and anybody, like I say, fantasy football players all year in the NFL. It's hugely popular. This is a fantasy draft game that makes it fun for people to play along. It goes throughout the process, and you can move players, trade them, get rid of them, up, stock down is very important to follow that, and these people are following it every day, so why not use all that knowledge and make it work and prove that you can beat out some of the best, and there's some former GMs involved in this whole stuff, too, that maybe you can try to beat out, so that's fun. As far as guys that are a little undervalued or a little hot right now but would stock up, Sean Mannion,
uh-huh,
quarterback at Oregon State. You might look at him as a Matt Schaub. That's who I compare him to, is Matt Schaub. You say, Matt Schaub. Well, Matt Schaub had some pretty good years coming out of Virginia in the National Football League. So I think he's the one that may be a little undervalued at quarterback. At running back, it's pretty much everybody's all over the place with their opinions on these running backs. But I think you look at maybe a little undervalued Matt Jones out of Florida. People are kind of getting on board with him with his hard-nosed running style. At wide receiver, I think a couple guys. Ty Montgomery at Stanford. Didn't have the year expected, but 2 years ago looked really good. Tyler Lockett at Kansas State would be another one that people are starting to get enamored with there. As far as the you talk about just overall, I mean, the draft itself right now is starting to really round into shape. We had unfortunate news about Shane Ray yesterday, which everybody had known it was an injury, but now it's a question what will happen with Shane Ray and the toe and how much that will impact where the Missouri defensive end outside linebacker ends up.
Mel, as you talk about the Cleveland Browns, you've called them a wild card. Nobody really knows what they're going to do. Yesterday, you and Todd did a 3-round mock draft. You only got to make one of the picks for the Browns. Number 12, Danny Shelton. Talk about that selection and how you arrived at Shelton, because I think a lot of people in Cleveland would love to see that pick.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I know Bill Polian didn't like the pick. I mean, he criticized the pick heavily and doesn't think Danny Shelton's worthy of being a first-round draft choice. So everybody's kind of got their opinions on this, all over the place on Danny. I just think the 5.64 40 time, I know Bill talked about it, never had one, it's been successful, but we've never had a Danny Shelton. Just like, I made the mistake of saying, we never had a 5'10¾" quarterback. Then came Russell Wilson,
sure,
right? There's always somebody, and I think what makes Danny different than the 5'6", 4 40 guys or of past years is the fact he's such a gifted athlete. I mean, the guy is an enormously talented athlete. He plays with fire and passion. His numbers across the board improved dramatically this year. He's strong and powerful, loves to play the game. I mean, the 5'6", 4 40, I agree. We haven't had it before, but when you're talking about the 12th pick, you're not talking about a top 5 pick like a lot of people once thought with Danny Shelton. So you're talking about a pick 12. I don't see how he can't be a disruptive force or somebody that center guard and that offensive line coach have to really make sure they scheme against in order to handle. So, I think at 12 it would be a nice pick, although, like I said, Bill Polian thought it was a terrible pick.
Mel, another guy that you've linked to the Cleveland Browns at the 19th pick is Todd Gurley, running back out of Georgia. But it seems as if he is shooting up everybody's draft board now that knee's been checked out in Indianapolis. Give us some insight on him and why he's shooting up that board, and is he still, on the radar for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I think what you do with Gurley is say, what would have happened? Where would he be without the injury? And he would have been top 5 on most boards, okay? He's certainly one of the best 5 players in this draft on ability. And then he gets hurt. So you say, okay, factor in the injury. I have him at 11. on the board. I don't factor in philosophy to my ratings. My philosophy is never draft a running back in the first round. People say, well, Todd always says, well, you contradicted that with these first round mocks. Well, the only reason I did was because I wanted to make them realistic. I'm not going to be an idiot and put a guy that's going in the top 15, 20 in the second round. It just distorts the whole concept of a mock draft or any draft in general. Plus the fact that if I'm a GM and my head coach and my offensive coordinator are banging on that table to say, hey, I got to have Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon III. Gurley's at 11, Gordon's at 12. If I'm picking 19 and I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm getting value there with 11, okay? So I can justify it based on ratings, and if they're banging on the table and they got to have them, I'm not arguing. Take them. But I don't believe in taking running backs in the first round. It's just a philosophy of mine over the years, but that's why I put those guys in, because if they were rated 28th, 35th, then I'd say, no way. Nobody's talking me into that. But the fact that they're rated so high, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, my philosophy is I'll take a running back when I know 100% both these kids are going in the first round.
Mel, has any team ever approached you about working in the personnel department? And if so?
I had an offer back in 1983, which I accepted. With Ernie Accorsi, the former great GM of the Cleveland Browns. And Ernie was with the Baltimore Colts then. I was a 22-year-old kid, had put out 5 books up till that point. Ernie had known who I was, and we talked, and he, you know, got to know me pretty well, offered me a position that spring. He said, just go through the 83 draft. You'll come work for us in August. And I said, great. So we went through the process. That was when John Elway was taken and traded without Ernie's knowledge. He was obviously frustrated with the situation with Robert Irsay, the owner. The fact that they were thinking about Irsay wasn't moving the team possibly. They had traded Elway, as I said, and gave him away basically for nothing without Ernie's knowledge, which was the worst trade in the history of the National Football League, made by the owner without anybody else's consent. So he didn't want any part of that. He didn't want any part of a bad organization. He certainly wasn't going to bring me in and have me give him up the business. Ironically, Ernie saved me. If there's a reason why I'm where I am, where I've been for all these years at ESPN, it's because of Ernie Accorsi. Had he not cared as much, he'd have said, yeah, I'll bring you in. And then he would have left, and I'd have been stuck without Ernie. Well, what happens then? Well, guess what? Just a few months after that decision was made by Ernie not to bring me in, I got the call from ESPN to go to work up there. So if it had not been for Ernie Accorsi, that call would have maybe come or wouldn't have come because I've been with a team, and I'd have missed out on all that opportunity. So, like I say, Ernie, you're eternally grateful to for having that caring about a friend to say, hey, if I'm going to be leaving, I can't bring you in and leave you here and have you probably be let go by Jimmy Irsay or whoever else was going to make that call. So at the end of the day, that's how it all worked. And from that point on, just different things with scouting opportunities here and there, but nothing that I would have ever given up the reports and the work I was doing at ESPN for.
So since you've become a rock star, you haven't seriously considered?
Never. Never in a million years would I do anything but what I'm doing right now. And plus, I've been doing it 38 years. I don't, you know, you're talking about 38 years in this business is a long time. And
yes,
at this stage of my life, you know, and I'm going to be 55 in July, I have absolutely no interest in doing anything NFL related.
Mel, let's go back to the Browns here, and we'll do NFL-related while you're working for ESPN here.
Well, that's so NFL-related, just not in the NFL.
That's right, that's right. You got Shelton at 12. If you go that way, how are you looking at the Browns in terms of biggest needs and how you would go, you know, 12, 19, 43, and then 77 there into the third round? What are you looking to do if you're Ray Farmer?
Well, I think you have to certainly not worry about needs. I think needs distort a draft board.
Yep.
And needs really can really screw you up. I mean, they really can make it so you're just forcing things. And you really just have to let the board play out. You spend all this time and effort putting up ratings boards. Be true to your board. And players are getting hurt every year in this league, unfortunately. Players are leaving every year with free agency. There's some trades, but mostly free agency is affecting it, and injuries affect it. And players, guess what? Once they get money, sometimes their production declines. So once certain things, they get an injury, their production declines. They're not the same player every year. So you can't count on your team being the exact same as it was at the end of last year this year. So I think, you know, don't worry about the needs. Take the best player. So we do the mocks, and you see who I have with the Browns, but that's mocking it out.
Sure.
The real reality of it is some of these guys may not go where they're projected to go, and we know what the needs are. Everybody's pretty much aware of that. So just plug in the players. Look at the board, plug in whoever you want. But I thought, you know, Shelton it at that particular point would make sense. A player I would really love to get from the Browns would be Devontae Parker, the wide receiver from Louisville. If you can get him at 12, you know, then maybe if you can get a Gurley or a Gordon, I mean, if you want to get a running back that can get in there with Terrence West and Crowell and give you a heck of a committee and be the top guy, those guys would be the elite running back of that group. That would give you a true number one running back. So there's a variety of ways they can go. But at the bottom line of all this, we can talk about all these picks. If they don't settle on and figure out who their quarterback's going to be that's going to close that gap with Roethlisberger, Flacco, and Dalton, I don't care if you had 20 picks in this draft. It doesn't matter. Because if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you can have all the all-pros and pro bowlers you want, and you're not winning. You've got to get the quarterback position figured out. And that's the challenge right now of this Browns organization.
It is, and that's why so many rumors persist that the Browns are going to mortgage their future to trade up and get Marcus Mariota. I want to ask you two things. One, do you think that that is a likely scenario for the Cleveland Browns, and is it something that you would do? And number two, in your own evaluations, how would you have rated Johnny Manziel and Marcus Mariota as prospects head-to-head?
Well, Mariota obviously is the better prospect. I had no clue what kind of player Manziel was going to be coming out of Texas A&M. I said that numerous times. Don't even ask me because I don't know. We've never had that before. I don't know if he's going to be a bust or a boom. I have no clue. You couldn't evaluate him based on the way he played in college. That's not the NFL. So you had to hope that, given time, which he wasn't given much time, and now, of course, he's trying to get everything together on and off the field. We'll see what happens with Johnny. You root for Johnny. You want him to be successful, and we'll see what happens. But for now, they got to figure this out. In terms of Mariota, Mariota's got some things to learn. I mean, from the pocket, that's the way you got to win in this league. You don't win in the NFL running around. From the pocket, Marcus needs to improve. He's more comfortable. He's in his comfort zone when he's running around outside the pocket, moving outside the pocket, throwing on the move. That's his comfort zone. It's obvious. You watch all the games of Oregon, you see that. You don't have to know anything about football. My wife can watch that. Kim can and see what the deal is with Marcus Mariota. Okay, so it's going to take him a little bit of time. The question is, can he ever master that aspect of being a quarterback? Now, he's smart. He works hard. And we know all that instinctively. That's part of the process as well. But, he's got some issues there he's going to have to work through. He's got enormous talent. He's got the arm. He's got everything you want physically and athletically. So, and he made throws that were NFL-like at Oregon. So it wasn't just Bryce Petty making butt throws, bubble screen throws, and underneath throws. That's all Bryce Petty tended to do for the most part at Baylor. Marcus Mariota extended the field, made NFL throws. So, I think Mariota, he's not going to set the league on fire right away. But in 2 or 3 years, if he's handled properly like Aaron Rodgers was in Green Bay, then you probably have yourself a franchise quarterback.
Mel, as we're less than a week away from the draft, a guy that's actually been dropping down many boards is a guy like Vic Beasley. Touch upon some of those guys like him who are dropping, in or out of the first round. And then also, too, some of the most hot risers, guys that are rising into that top 10 or rising from second round grades into that first round as we approach the draft.
Well, I think that's a great question right now because I think you look at guys that are rising. I think, obviously, Todd Gurley is. He's in that top 12. Philip Dorsett, a wide receiver out of Miami of Florida, is, I think, in the middle to late first round. I would even shade the middle. Eric Kendricks, an inside linebacker out of UCLA, undersized, but for today's NFL, you got to cover and you got to go sideline to sideline, and you got to be a great athlete, and he is. That's why you can get by if you can protect him with your guys up front. He will be an inside linebacker, can throw the football, and he can be 25, 30 yards down the field in coverage. So Kendricks has moved, I think, into the late first round. I would put him in a mock draft first right now, maybe to Green Bay. Think about other guys that are slipping a little bit. And I think also moving up, Rashad Perriman, the wide receiver at Central Florida. We talked a lot about him. Alvin Bud Dupree, outside linebacker at Kentucky. But down a little bit would be Randy Gregory for obvious reasons, the off-the-field issue and the fact he didn't play well this year and he doesn't play the run well and he's got to get his weight up. So I think Gregory could slide significantly. Shane Ray, because of the toe, we'll have to see how that impacts a guy that could have been the eighth pick to Atlanta, may drop just a bit. Marcus Peters, the corner of Washington, I think maybe 20 to 32. I'll probably shade 26 now with a mock draft, maybe to Baltimore, but he's not going to be the top 10, top 15 pick that his talent indicates because he was dismissed from the football team. So Jordan Phillips, nose tackle Oklahoma, he had that back injury a few years ago, wore down late in games, wasn't real productive, so Jordan Phillips I think could drop a bit. Another guy that's going to be the most underrated player, I don't know if he's hot right now, but he's always underrated, Senquez Golson, the cornerback at Ole Miss. If some of these wide receivers had his hands, that'd be probably a half a round higher rated than they would be right now.
Talking with Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN, brought to us today by PlayTheDraft.com, where you can see if you have what it takes to be an NFL GM. Go to PlayTheDraft.com right now. Mel, for the Browns, you start off, let's say you look D-line, maybe you look O-line, or you look edge rusher at 19. You still want to get that playmaker at wide receiver. In that second round of that tier, one of the guys who's jumped out to me is Nelson Agholor. I'm not sure he's going to make it to 43, but of that second group of receivers, who stands out to you?
I think Agholor goes in the late first. I really do. I think early second at the latest. Devin Funchess from Michigan had a bad year, not because he dropped some balls, because the quarterback could not get him the ball. And the quarterback there, Gardner, is going to be a receiver. He's going to try to be a receiver in the NFL, so that tells you all you need to know about that quarterback situation at Michigan last year. But Funchess 2 years ago looked like a guaranteed top 15 pick. He's interesting. I mean, I think he goes late first, early second. Devin Smith, Ohio State, you know him very well. I compare him to the late, great Paul Blair, the great center fielder for the Baltimore Orioles. Nobody tracked a ball better than Paul Blair did. Nobody played as shallow a center field as Paul Blair did, yet he caught everything. Same thing with Devin Smith down the field. He tracks the ball incredibly well. So I think you look at him, Tyler Lockett, Kansas State, I think would be in that discussion. I think Doriel Green-Beckham, you take Josh Gordon, you can't come back with Doriel Green-Beckham. So Doriel Green-Beckham is probably going to be second or third round, but he's not Cleveland Brown material. I think that's the guy. Those are the guys. I mean, I think all the other ones, I think you're going to see 8-9 receivers go in the first round. So the second round, remember last year, 5 first-round receivers, yep. 7 seconds. 4 of those seconds should have been first, or 3 up should have been. Definitely Jordan Matthews should have been.
Yes.
Well, they all played great. Well, this year is going to be maybe 8 or 9 in the first and maybe 3 or 4 in the second. So we're kind of flipping last year where we had the big second round and we had a great first round, but we had 5 and then 7. Now we're probably going to have, like I say, 8 or 9 and then 3 or 4 in round 2.
Last question for you, Mel. Thanks for the great stuff. Talk with Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN. The quarterback position, we know Winston and Mariota, they're at the top. The Browns still need to find another quarterback. Obviously, they hope it becomes Johnny Manziel now that he's out of rehab. But if they were to draft one of the next tier of quarterbacks, you talked about Mannion being Matt Schaub-like. That actually sounds pretty good to me. What about Hundley, Grayson, Petty? Do any of those guys make sense for the Browns?
Well, I think Petty is a guy that makes sense for the Saints, and I say because of Breeze. Breeze is probably going to be at a high level for another 2-3 years. Well, Bryce Petty needs 2 or 3 years coming out at a Baylor offense with all the underneath bubble screens and having not even a playbook, okay? So I think that's where Bryce Petty needs a lot of time. So they, you know, New Orleans can afford him that opportunity. Cleveland, different ballgame. Brett Hundley needs time. Okay, you know, Garrett Grayson would be more of an Andy Dalton type coming in. I think he's ready because of the system he worked in with Jim McElwain. Very competitive kid. Sean Mannion's ready because of the system he worked in. So if you're the Browns, I think you look Grayson or Mannion over Petty and Hundley. That's the way I would approach it. If you're looking for guys, maybe. Yeah, and there is a chance that Grayson could be a third-round pick. There's a chance that Mannion could be a third-round pick. Maybe one of those two goes in the second, but both could still be there in the third round. I think some of these quarterbacks, like last year, are going to drop a little bit. Nobody thought Mettenberger would get into the sixth.
Yeah,
he
right.
did. McCarron dropped down, too. So, you know, somebody, one or two of these quarterbacks may drop a little further than you think, and that might present an opportunity to maybe steal somebody.
Mel, great stuff. Thanks so much for being with us here today. Folks, go check out playthedraft.com. And obviously, you can check out Mel covering the draft for ESPN, as he always does. Appreciate the time, Mel.
I appreciate it. Hey, guess what? The guy that won last year, Adam Lobeck, was at ESPN with his wife and had a great tour and met everybody. So if you win Play the Draft, there's some major benefits waiting for you.
There you go. Check it out, playthedraft.com. Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN.
Enjoy it, man. Take
Thanks,
care.
Mel. Thanks, Thank you, Mel. All right, we'll be back taking your phone calls, digesting the great stuff we got from Mel Kiper Jr. when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. 216-578-0850. Call us up, ladies and gentlemen.